be a little different today. We want to have a time in which we're in the Word and then responding to the Word through the course of the whole morning. And so the one change that I just made is that the video we're going to play and the prayer we'll do in the final segment. So John, we still want you to pray on Church Multiplication Sunday. But the series of messages we're on in this fall season is serving one, learning to become instruments of God's grace in the life of others, to serve each other. Today's message is on the theme of acceptance. God, through the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 15, at verse 7, gives the imperative, accept one another. It's a word of command. But it doesn't begin there. It actually, he introduces the topic of acceptance back in Romans chapter 14 at verse 1. And so I'd invite you to stand with me, and I'm going to read the Romans 14 so you hear the context of acceptance. Romans 14, verse 1 begins in the NIV, accept the one who's weak in faith without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another who is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. For God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God, and whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to the Lord. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the living and the dead. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, and surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or any obstacle in the path of a brother or sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord, that nothing is unclean in and of itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you're no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is known as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it's wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It's better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your sister or brother to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating's not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, as it is written, "The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me." For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Jesus Christ had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the command: accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. You may be seated. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. That is the sermon in a sentence. The command, accept one another. The manner, just as Christ accepted you. The purpose, in order to bring praise to God. In this first section, we're going to look at the command, accept one another. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. That's the text before us. Accept one another. And we want to, first of all, look at that word, accept. And so we put it in red for us to capture in Romans 5, 15, verse 7. Accept one another. The command literally means to take one to yourself, or to draw one to your side, to welcome, to receive, to accept. And so that's the sense of it, to take someone to your side in an accepting gesture, in a welcoming gesture, to count them as your close friend, or in the case of the church, to count them as a brother or sister in Christ. And it is an imperative in the present tense. So it means that we are to continually accept one another. We're to keep on accepting one another. So in the church, I'm going to ask David Tang to come and join me. David, come here a second. I didn't ask David if his permission, but he's a brother in Christ, so he will forgive me. Won't you, David? So David comes to us this morning from Rock Island, but in his story, he comes to us first from Burma and from the Hakka region of Burma, because he is of the Hakka people. And he could speak Hakka Chin. You want to greet the people in Hakka this morning? Okay, say good morning to them.
Hello. The Hakkas are speaking. It's good morning, Zingcha. Hello, Zingcha.
Thank you, David. So, stay here a second, David. When I first met David and he told me his story, of being persecuted in Burma, and a number of times where they would take him and arrest him and beat him and take his hand and crush it with a hammer. And so that he can't work. He has a disability. And then he tells me stories of his time in refugee camps and in India. And now he is in the United States of America. And more than being an American, he's a brother in Christ. And the word accept one another means to draw one near to you. And so it's like taking and doing a side hug with a brother in Christ. And we can do that because we are brothers in Christ. And I count it a privilege to know you as my brother. Welcome, even though you've been here many years now. But we are to have that mindset, That willingness to come alongside, to draw someone near, and count them as a, not just a friend, but as a brother or sister in Christ, because they know and love Jesus as we know and love Jesus. And because of his blood, we're family. And so we want to count, accept one another is the command. And continually accept one another. But in the text, in Romans chapter 14, which comes as the context for this word, the command is to accept one another. In the English text before us, then you have a particle. In the NIV, it's the then. So I highlight the then for a second. The then in the English text, and in some translations, it's a therefore. Other translations, it's a that. Other translations, it's a wherefore. But it is a translation of a Greek word, dio, or dio, which is an emphatic marker in the text pointing to what is, follows, is the logical conclusion of what is said before. In the Greek text, the dio comes before accept one another. So the command to accept one another is the logical conclusion of all that Paul has said in Romans chapter 14. He is saying, after all is said about how we treat one another as weak and stronger brothers in faith, I want you to understand that you are to accept one another. That's the logical extension of chapter 14, which began, accept the weak in faith, for God has accepted them. Just to summarize, Paul highlights issues in chapter 14 over which believers have disagreements in the first century. They disagree about food. Some people feel free to go to the meat market and buy meat and not worry about whether it's been offered to an idol or not. They grill it and they eat it and they enjoy it. Others are so concerned in the church about eating meat that might have been offered to an idol that they just eat vegetables. They're vegetarians, and so they, out of concern about eating meat that might have been offered to an idol, they don't. And in the church, they're in conflict with each other because they feel someone's wrong. Drink is the same thing about drinking wine. And in the first century also, special days. Some believers still wanted to observe the Sabbath, the seventh day, because God commanded to keep the Sabbath day because it's holy. And others kept no special days. They celebrated the Lord's Day because it was the first day of the week. It was the day on which Jesus rose from the dead. These first century disagreements between believers were mostly concerning Jewish law and tradition versus the new freedom that believers had in Christ. But also the distinctions came, or disagreements came, over who was to be accepted. The Jew and the Gentile? The slave and the free? Men and women are brothers in Christ. That's the message of the gospel. So we accept one another. Now we experience similar disagreements today, even over some of the same topics, to which we could add things like politics, immigration policy, the support of Israel, the placement of flags, the color of carpet. Yeah. We can fight about the color of carpet. It probably should be orange. It was orange. And then someone repented. It was a good choice for the 70s. We can have disagreement and feel we are right about the style of music and worship, or the use of instruments, whether it should be the guitar or the organ. And I remind you of the year 1901 at First Baptist Church in New Berlin when they were dedicating the organ, a pipe organ, that had been installed in the church. And the deacons all sat on the steps. Like you can kind of picture, like it was as if it was a Supreme Court and there was a mob on the, a crowd, not a mob, a crowd on the steps. The deacons all sat on the steps of First Baptist Church that Sunday morning in 1901 and refused to come in because someone brought the organ into the church from the theater into the church. The world and the devil had come to the church. How things have changed. Now we bring the guitar and the drums in and we brought the world and the devil. Shh, anyone listening around here? Disagreements, clothing styles, body piercings, tattoos, all areas in which the Bible does not provide specific instruction and yet areas in which we feel strong convictions about freedom or restriction. And so we fail to accept one another. Paul is calling the weak and the strong in faith, Jews and Gentiles, slaves and free, men and women, to accept one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And yet, as we walk through Romans chapter 14, we identify a number of ways in which people respond hurtfully, not just toward each other, but really hurtfully toward the body of Christ. They sin against God, they sin against each other, and they do harm to the body. I won't go through the whole text right now, but I'll identify them. We quarrel over disputable matters. We treat each other with contempt. We pass judgment on each other. We cause the weak to stumble by what we approve. We insist on our rights and freedoms in Christ. We fail to act in love. We fail to pursue unity and peace. We fail to build each other up. We violate our conscience. And so we sin and fail to accept one another. And Paul calls us to and commands us to accept one another. But we need to pause this morning to confess the ways in which we fail. So I'm going to invite you to repeat in unison with me the heart of Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Okay, so join me. Examine me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any hurtful way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. So now what I would like you to do, and I guess I hadn't written it here the way I had written it there. What I would like you to do is to take time, and we'll put the list up, and I want you to take time to confess to any hurtful ways in you. Any ways that you have sinned against God, harmed a brother or sister in Christ by doing one of the following. So you take time to be before the Lord, read the list, let the Holy Spirit bring to remembrance occasions or attitudes or actions that you need to say to God this morning, I've sinned against you and I've brought harm to my brother or sister in Christ. We're going to take a couple minutes for confession. Join me in declaring this word of assurance from 1 John 1:9. Let me put it up for us. We'll do it together. Since we have confessed our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling.
We're going to allow our children to be dismissed for children's church at this time. If you have a child aged kindergarten through second grade that you'd like to have a part in the children's ministry, be sure to see Jen Mills at the door. She has a registration card for you to fill out for your child for children's church if you haven't already done so. But children ages kindergarten through second grade can have a part in children's church during the remainder of this hour. As we continue, I just want to highlight two family matters as we shift into the second segment of our worship time. Two family matters. First of all, as a church family, you need to know that Jake Van Dam, our photographer, is sick today, so he's not taking pictures. You can stand there and look pretty, but it won't make it into the directory. So we'll need to work with Jake to reschedule your appointments. And then secondly, we want to celebrate with Judah and Becca Kennedy and Tim and Kathy Marquis as Elia Christine was born yesterday. Little girl. So that's good news. The nursery just keeps getting fuller. So we'll take volunteers for the nursery duty as well. All right. Part two. The command of the apostle is that we accept one another. But the manner in which we are to accept each other is just as Christ accepted you. Just as Christ accepted you. So we have a pattern of acceptance from which we are instructed to accept one another. It's just as Christ accepted us. How did Christ accept us? How did he come alongside us? How did he take us and draw us near? The scripture says, while we were sinners, while we were enemies of God, while we were alienated and opposed to him, that God pursued us with his everlasting love, that we might know him and enjoy him both now and forever. Some of us came kicking and screaming. Others of us came weeping and grieving. But when we have tasted of the grace of God, we leave leaping and rejoicing. It's a story of redemption. God came alongside us and he drew us near while we were still sinners. I can remember a time in my life when my mother drew me near. She took me like this and she brought me in, and it wasn't because she was wanting to say, I love you. It's because she was saying, you're going to stop what you're doing right now. I'm sure it was out of love. I wasn't wanting affection. I saw her affection as affliction. Sometimes we see God's affection as affliction until we comprehend the greatness of our God. Right now, there's a story out in print and on film, a true story. It's called Burden. A preacher, a Klansman, a true story of redemption in the modern South. Andrew Heckler is the film writer and director, producer of this film. And he says that to summarize Burden is this. He says, No one ever turned an enemy into a friend through hate. Only love can turn an enemy into a friend. Doesn't that sound like the gospel? The story Burden is a harrowing true story of the modern Ku Klux Klan and an act of grace that shook a community in Lawrence, South Carolina in 1996. In 1996, in Lawrence, South Carolina, Michael Burden opened a museum and a store honoring the Ku Klux Klan in the town square of Lawrence. And journalists and protesters from all over the United States flooded into that little town. And hate groups rallied to the establishment's defense. And there was this long history of racial violence and strife that came up out of this mill town in northwest South Carolina. Now it's the subject of a book and a film. Michael Burden, as a museum curator of the Ku Klux Klan and a store businessman, fell in love with a single mom in Lawrence, South Carolina. And she drew the line in the sand. She said, "You can have me or you can have the Klan." And he chose her. And he left the Klan and lost his business and his museum. Let him go for the love of this single mom. In time, he was homeless and broke. Just a homeless man on the streets of Lawrence, South Carolina, until a prominent pastor, David Kennedy, a leader in the community, as well as pastor of the prominent African-American church in Lawrence, saw Michael Burden on the street and came alongside him and loved him and showed him grace and paid a price in ridicule, and demonstrated that no one can ever turn an enemy into a friend through hate, but only love can turn an enemy into a friend. And the true story of redemption is to turn the enemy into a brother or sister in Christ. Here's God's word on the matter for you and I. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you. While you were yet sinners, while you were enemies of God, while you were going your own way, living life on your terms without regard for him, he loved you. And he came alongside you that you might know him, enjoy his acceptance in Christ Jesus our Lord. We come to the table of the Lord this morning to remember what Christ has done, to remember how Jesus Christ accepted you, how Jesus Christ accepted me, how he accepted us and all who know him as their Lord and Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ accepted us by paying the debt of our sin. which points to the fact that if we're going to accept one another just as Christ accepted us, it might be costly on our part to come along somebody who doesn't want to be come alongside, to love somebody who doesn't want to be loved, to show grace to someone who doesn't want our grace, but who needs it. The second way the Lord demonstrated his love toward us and accepted us was that he accepted us by purchasing our redemption with his blood. He died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If we're going to accept one another just as Christ accepted us, it's going to require us to die to ourselves, to die to our rights, to die sometimes to our comfort, that we might be instruments of his grace in the life of a brother or sister in Christ. Or, as Pastor Kennedy did for Mr. Burden, we might need to pay the price to come alongside a future brother or sister in Christ, just as Christ loved us. Let's give thanks for the bread that was broken, and then we will receive the bread.
Lord, we thank you for this opportunity again to remember what you went through for us and the sacrifice you made for us. I can't help but think of you on the cross, broken. And you did that for all of us. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
If you need a gluten-free portion of the bread, hold your hand up shoulder height, and we will bring that to you as we continue to worship him.
Just as I am, if I was one thing, God's found.
This bread broken causes us to remember once again that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ accepted us by means of his broken body. It was through his death, his suffering on our behalf, that the debt of our sin was paid. And the way into fellowship with God was restored, so that by faith we could know him and enjoy him through Christ. Jesus says, "This is my body broken for you. Eat in remembrance of him." Jesus also provided for our acceptance through the shedding of his blood, the price of our redemption. And so we give thanks for his blood shed.
Lord, we do thank you for your precious blood that's covered our sins. It's beyond our comprehension. As mere mortals, to understand what you've done for us. But in faith, we accept it. Thank you.
Blood can cleanse each heart to mind.
It is Jesus that says to his disciples, this cup represents the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And then he commands, drink from it, all of you. We accept one another just as Christ accepted us. And the third statement is, in order to bring praise to God. In order to bring praise to God. The text commands.